Now you can't, listen, you can believe, you know, your traditions, or you can believe what the Word of God has to say, because he talks right here about denying the Lord that bought them. In other words, here I am bought by the Lord. And this denying is not, oh no, he's not Jesus. We're wrong. That's not Jesus. It is a, this word denying, it's a rejection. It is a turning away from. It is a refusal to continue to accept. In other words, he's talking about people who come to the place of saying, okay, yeah, he's Jesus. He's the Son of God. But you know what? These other things are true. And we're seeing these other things being taught in the body of Christ today. He's saying these other things are true. These other things are happening. These other ways you can live, you know, all paths lead to God. Jesus is one of the paths. But there are other ways too. I mean, those are just examples. And he says, and they're going to bring upon themselves swift destruction. Or they're going to bring upon themselves this second death. They were bought by the Lord. But if they continue this way, they're going to bring upon themselves swift destruction, and many, a multitude, a great number, shall follow their destructive teachings, embrace them, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. In other words, this tongue stuff, you don't have to pray in tongues. Come on. You don't have to spend all this time meditating in the Word. You don't have to spend all this time worshiping. And heaven knows you really don't need to fast. What does fasting do? It just makes you hungry. All that stuff is works. All that stuff is works. Say, no, listen, it's by the grace of God. You just sit around and just wait. When God decides, then the grace is going to move upon you. And then whoosh, you're going to be everything God wants you to be. I don't think so. And so he says, listen, these people are going to come in here and they're going to teach this. And they're going to deceive many. See, what we're trying to do here is help you who are physically here watching, listening. We're trying to help you come to the place of not being one of these deceived. That's what this is about. And one of the things the Lord has shown me is that there are too many Christians that are not taking this seriously. This is serious because Jesus himself said, look, the very elect, if they can be deceived, they're going to be deceived. I don't want to be deceived. Well, if you continue in this, look over in 2 Timothy chapter 3. And this thing about where he mentioned in verse 16 of 1 Peter or 2 Peter chapter 1, the thing about the fables, you're going to see this again. In 2 Timothy chapter 3. In verse 16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Now that right there, if all scripture is given by inspiration of God, it is profitable for all of these things so that I can be spiritually mature and spiritually furnished to do everything he's called me to do, then I need to get into the Word of God. That means it can't be works. It can't be works. It means I have to, if I don't do verse 16, I can't be verse 17. And then he says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. Well, where are you going to get the doctrine? From the Word of God. For the time will come when they will not endure. Who is the they? It's the people in the church. When they will not endure, no longer put up with sound doctrine. Not just doctrine, but sound doctrine. That means doctrine's going to be preached, but it's not going to be sound doctrine. It's going to be unsound doctrine, unstable doctrine. And he says that they are after their own lusts. Now, don't think of sexual things. Think of what I want to hear, what makes me feel good, what's going to tell me that I'm good, what's going to tell me that everything is okay with me and God, that my relationship is okay, but I can still live the way that I want to. After their own lust, shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto what? fables, a mythos, a blending of truth and fiction. So what he's talking about are people who have been exposed to sound doctrine, and they're going to turn from sound doctrine. And why are they doing that? It's because they're heaping to themselves mythos teachers. People who are blending truth with fiction and presenting it as sound doctrine. And he says, they're going to heap to themselves these teachers. Now, how are they doing that? Very simple. They show up on Sunday and they listen to Pastor Brock. But Monday through Saturday, they're glued to the television watching this guy, watching the next guy. And they're hearing 20 sermons to one in favor of fables over the sound doctrine that Pastor Brock is teaching. And after a while, this 10 to 1, 15 to 1, 20 to 1 of the mythos compared to the sound doctrine, eventually that stuff takes root on the inside of them, and they begin to believe this stuff because they're heaping unto themselves teachers, plural, one guy after the other, one guy after the other, and there's only one Pastor Brock. And I have seen people, I know of people, who have been walking the same path that we're walking here in this conference. And they've been listening to the teachings. They know what is taught. They know about praying in the Spirit. They know all these things. But they have been lending their ears to these other preachers. Listening. And then they come to the point of believing the fable over the sound doctrine. And I've had people contact me here just in the last couple of weeks. Don't ever send me anything again. I don't ever want to hear from you again. And one person, I asked them, I said, well, who are you? They said, because I've moved on to other teachers. And so I replied back, and I just said, well, who are you listening to? Because I might want to listen to them also. I was half serious, because maybe they found somebody who's really good. I'd like to know. And they told me, and I went out and I began investigating, and I'm like, God have mercy. The one person is teaching that everybody has God's life in them. They just have to discover it. Well, that's not true. I don't have God's life in me until I ask Jesus Christ to give me the life of God, until I am born again. I'm not born into this life born again. I'm born into this life lost on my way to hell. I need Jesus as my Lord and Savior. When I receive Him, when I pray to Him to be saved, to be born again, that's when I become a recipient of God's life. Not until then. Well, in 1 Timothy chapter 4, look here in verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times. What latter time? What are the latter times? It's like we're living in them. The times right before the end of the world and Jesus' return. Some shall depart from the faith. Some. Not all. Some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. So here we see people departing from the faith. What does that mean? Departing in a faith that is based strictly and exclusively upon the Word of God. See, one of the things that's important to remember is that these people are not saying God doesn't exist, Jesus doesn't exist. I mean, mature Christian is going to believe in that. You're going to have to mix Jesus in the mix, in the bunch. You're going to have to do something like that to get people to the place of understanding and being willing to accept these fables. So he says, they're going to depart from the faith. Why would they depart from the faith? Well, it's because they're giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Now, in 2 Timothy, it's false prophets, teachers who are preaching these heresies. Now here he shows us the source of these teachings, seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. So here these people, these teachers, are in the body of Christ and they're delivering these messages. They think they're delivering truth. And the reason is because they have been giving heed to the voice of revelation inside. But it's a lying devil. And instead of taking the time to pray in the Spirit and get into the Word line upon line, precept upon precept, these people just buy into this stuff. I heard a preacher here not too long ago. I'll probably never listen to him again. He said something, one of the dumbest things I've ever heard, and I could not believe he said it. No, I'm not going to tell you who it is or what he said. But it was somebody I had respect for, and I thought, you got to be joking me. At first when he said it, I thought he was joking. But then I realized, this guy's telling the truth. He means this. I can't believe it. And this is what God is trying to warn us. He's saying, look, seducing spirits, doctrines of devils, but it leads to a searing of the conscience. A searing of the conscience. Now, why is that so critical? Because the more that my conscience is seared, the more I'm going to lose my sensitivity to the voice of God. The more I'm going to lose my sensitivity to his conviction. Hey, don't you listen to this anymore. Hey, you better turn this off, because I will enable my soul to dominate my belief system. And then the teaching that's coming from these people who have been deceived by the seducing spirits, they're going to deliver this stuff, and I'm going to tell myself it's true. It's true. They couldn't sell so many books if it weren't true. They wouldn't be on so many television stations if it weren't true. They wouldn't have a $1 billion budget if it weren't true. Truth isn't dependent upon a budget. Truth is dependent upon the Word of God. And so people are searing their conscience. And I've got news for you guys. This is a very sobering thing. There are some people you may know now who have walked away from this path of truth, and they're never coming back. Now, I'm not prophesying that. Please don't misunderstand. But based upon what we're seeing about a multitude being deceived, you need to understand right now there are some folks, they're on that path to walking away from Jesus. Hopefully they haven't gone that far yet. But they're on that path, because they've been searing their conscience, giving heed to these things, these doctrines being spoken through these people. Now look over in Hebrews chapter 5. And you're going to see this process taking place. In Hebrews chapter 5, another verse that Bronk took us to yesterday. Verse 12. For when the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For every one that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. The good and evil he's speaking about there is not about, well, now should I, you know, smoke this marijuana or not? I mean, it's legal in my state. And if man says it's legal, well, you know, I might enjoy the worship a little better. Here, pastor, you might preach better. Try this. Should I get drunk? Should I have an affair with my neighbor's wife or not? No, that's not the good or evil he's talking about. He's talking about a discernment between truth and error. You say, well, how do you know that? Because he's talking about using the Word of God to discern, having your senses. What senses? Not my natural senses, my spiritual senses, keen in understanding what is the difference between the lie of a seducing spirit and the truth birthed by the Holy Spirit. Now, here's part of the reason why he's emphasizing this. You'll notice in verse 12, for when the time you ought to be teachers. Okay, these are people who have been exposed to truth. They've been exposed to Jesus is the only way. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Pray in tongues. So on and so forth. They have been exposed to this truth. And they have heard this teaching and heard this teaching and heard it to the point to where by now, after all this time, they should be at a place to where they could just sit down with a friend at Starbucks over a cup of coffee, you know, and a donut and explain these things to them. Even if they're not called to stand behind a pulpit and do it, they should be at the point to where they can teach these things at least one-on-one to their friends and to their family members. And he's saying, you should be there at this point. But the problem is, you need somebody to come in and teach these things to you all over again. What he's describing is a regression from the truth they had been hearing over a period of time. Something has happened. Well, that something, if you read through the book of Hebrews, you'll discover that something, it's other people coming in and working to blend obedience to the law with faith in Jesus. In fact, in some cases, actually telling people, you know, Jesus will not be your salvation. Now, if you don't do the things of the law, you're going to hell. And he even talks about this further on in chapter 6. I won't take the time to get into that. But in chapter 6, verses 1 through 8, what he's talking about is that when people come to this point, okay, I will. Just jump to verse 4. He says, it's impossible, impossible. Say impossible. Impossible, impossible means it ain't going to happen. Remember what I said a few moments ago. You may have friends, they're not coming back. He says, it's impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted of the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away. That phrase fall away basically means, here's the imagery, stand up, turn around, walk out. Just turn your back on it. If they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance. I didn't think I had to repent. To renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucified to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. In other words, well, I'm looking for what is really my salvation. It isn't Jesus, it's something else. I'm looking for the Messiah to really come. He's saying, if you have experienced Christ, you've been exposed to these teachings, you know the truth. If you turn and walk away from it, he says, it is impossible to renew you to a place of repentance to where you will shake off the dust of the error and stay with your arms wrapped around Jesus. He says, no, it's impossible. That means their conscience has become so seared that they are going to reject the truth. But now listen, they're not going to deny God. They're not going to become atheists. They're just not going to accept the truth. And he says, if this happens, let me give you an example of the end result of those people. For the earth which drinketh in the rain that cometh oft upon it, and bringeth forth herbs meet for them by whom it is dressed, receiveth blessing from God. But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected, and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. What did we read a little bit earlier? That the people who are preaching these damnable heresies, that they're going to end up in the second death. They're going to be in a place of eternal damnation, separated from fellowship with Christ for all eternity. Now this is giving us a different perspective. He said, that which beareth thorns and briars. What are the thorns and briars? The doctrines of devils, the teachings of the seducing spirits. What is it that bears them? It's the people who stand. I am the bearer of the thorns and the briars. If I stand up and deliver a message to you that is contrary to the very foundation that we see established in Scripture. And he says, those things will be rejected, they're nigh unto cursing, and their end is to be burned. What does that mean? Eternal damnation in a lake of fire. He says, not only are those who believe it in this position, but the people who teach it. And that's the warning that James gave. Go back and read James. He said, those of us that are called to be teachers, we're going to be held to a higher standard of judgment, because our responsibility is to lead people deeper into a relationship with Christ, not deliver salt water and fresh water out of the same fountain. He says, it can't happen. It's impossible to happen. Now look over in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. We're not going to go through this whole chapter. We simply don't have time. But in verse 2, we are told, the body of Christ is being told, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God, for no man understandeth him, howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries. So what I know is this. If I spend time praying in tongues, I am speaking directly to God. In fact, in verse 14, he says, if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prays. My understanding is unfruitful. So here I am. I'm praying in tongues. I am in communication with God that is supernatural. It is not normal. It is not English, Chinese, French, Russian, anything else. Those are all natural ways of communicating. I am praying in tongues. I have engaged myself in a place that is supernatural, and I am supernaturally encountering God, communicating with God. And in this conversation I'm having, having with him through tongues, what's taking place is I am receiving from him a revelation, a comprehension, an understanding of the mysteries. What mysteries? The mysteries of what is recorded in Scripture. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. That means through praying in tongues, I'm going to come to the place of understanding more and more and more and more Scripture so that I am soundly established in doctrine, and anything that I believe that is not true will be reproved and corrected and fixed and repaired on the inside of me. So I can't get this if I don't pray in the Spirit. Now, I've had people look me right in the eye and say, well, I can get the same results praying with the understanding. I'm sorry, but I don't see that in Scripture. I was raised in a church, you must be born again. But they told us tongues are wrong. Tongues are not for today. They taught us against tongues. In other words, they were teaching us against being able to pray out these mysteries. They were teaching us against having this private, supernatural conversation with God, spirit to spirit, as I'm praying in tongues and having this relationship with him. And he tells me in verse 4 that as I'm doing this, speaking in these tongues, I am edifying myself, strengthening myself, taking myself into a deeper position in Christ for the continued growth and maturation of my spirit. Well, if you jump further over here in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 18, Paul says, I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all. Paul is giving us a revelation of the fact that he has come to the understanding. He knows that if I do not pray in tongues, I will not have this experience. These things are not going to happen to me. Verses, think of it like this. Verses 1 through 17 are Paul explaining why he does verse 18. Pray in tongues more than you all. Because he knows he's going to get this change, this edification. Pray out these mysteries. Then in verse 21 he says this. In the law it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people, and yet for all that will they not hear me, saith the Lord. Now, here's what's interesting in this verse. Paul is telling us there's something in the law and the prophets that God has spoken through somebody, and it is a prophetic message looking ahead through the ages for the body of Christ. And as I see this, this tells me that there's something in the Old Testament that is a specific reference to praying in tongues. Now, if I can go back and find this prophecy, then I'm going to learn more about this whole thing of praying in tongues and about the people who will not hear. So, let's turn over to Isaiah 28. Now remember, earlier in this message, I shared with you, you know, I brought back to your memory the vivid image of Pastor Allen following behind a cow with a scoop shovel and a cow pie so deliciously served up by the cow. And Pastor Allen said, well, you know, you take it and you put whipped cream all on it, little cherry on top. Get one of those plastic spoons and put it in there, and then walk up to somebody and say, well, hey, I got a fresh cow pie here. Would you like some? And, you know, of course I don't want a fresh cow pie. That's disgusting. And Brother Allen, he continues on, and he says, well, why not? I mean, it came from a cow. So did the steak you ate yesterday. Yeah, but which end did it come? The steak was wonderful, was it not? But the cow pie would not be wonderful. Now, loosely, that's an example of a muthos. On one side of my plate, I've got the steak. On the other side, I got the cow pie. Came from the same source. Now, and then, you know, the poison in the pot thing, I got to get behind some rocks because, oh. Okay, keep that in mind. Isaiah 28, here's the prophecy, verse 11. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he, God, speak to this people to whom he said, this is the rest wherewith you may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear. Okay, verses 11 and 12 are the prophecy about praying in tongues that Paul referenced in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Now, verse 11 and 12 are kind of in the middle of this. That means there might be something to this prior to verses 11 and 12. Now, let's go back to verse 1. And before we begin reading this, keep this in mind. This, regardless of how relevant that this passage is or was to the people alive back then, Paul knew that it was a prophecy for the body of Christ. Therefore, what we're going to read is also prophetic about the body of Christ. Therefore, there is imagery in this. And I'm not going to belabor this. I'm not going to go through here and expound ad infinitum on all the imagery. When we get to the imagery, I'll just give you a brief explanation of what it's talking about so we can move on. So we start here in verse 1. It says, woe to the crown of pride, to the drunkards of Ephraim, whose glorious beauty is a fading flower, which are on the head of the fat valleys of them that are overcome with wine. Now remember, lots of imagery. Behold, the Lord hath a mighty and strong one, which, as a tempest of hail and a destroying storm, as a flood of mighty waters overflowing, what is it supposed to be coming out of our belly? Rivers of living water. Shall cast down to the earth with the hand. The crown of pride, the drunkards of Ephraim, shall be trodden under feet. This is talking about a time of judgment that is to come. And the glorious beauty which is on the head of the fat valley shall be a fading flower, and as the hasty fruit before the summer, which when he that looketh upon it seeth, while it is yet in his hand, he eateth it up. In that day shall the Lord of hosts be for a crown of glory and for a diadem of beauty unto the residue of his people, and for a spirit of judgment to him that sitteth in judgment, and for strength to them that turn the battle to the gate. Now stop right there at verse 6. So what we're seeing is he's giving us this, God is through Isaiah here, is giving this this imagery of here's what's coming. First off, Ephraim, what does that represent? Well, people in Israel, okay, just to simplify it. So he's saying there's coming a time of judgment within those that I call my own when my standard, my truth is going to rise up and it's going to begin exposing those things that have been coming forth which are not true. So we continue with this then in verse 7. It says, but they also have erred through wine and through strong drink are out of the way. Now stop right there and let me explain to you. He's going to be talking, he's already mentioned about drunkards in here. And he's going to be mentioning some more about drunk. And he's mentioning here about drunk. They've erred through strong drink. He's not speaking about people going to the bar and just drinking booze. This is imagery. The drunkenness comes as a result of them being impressed by themselves. Focus again, you know, later on, focus on the first part of this chapter. They have become intoxicated with and impressed by themselves. How they are preaching, how they are teaching, the information that they are giving to people. They are convinced, you know, I have received revelation from God. I've received a word from the Lord. And so they are caught up in themselves. Or in other words, they are deceived. And he says, they have erred through strong wine and through strong drink are out of the way. Meaning they've missed the mark. They're no longer on the fullness of this path. They were at one time, but now they're off the path. The priest and the prophet. Now, Jesus warned about the false prophets. What is the responsibility of the priest? Modern terms would be the pastor. The pastor is supposed to stand up and act as an under-shepherd to Jesus, if you will. And we're supposed to lead the flock to the green pastures, to the clean, clear water, Psalm 23. We're supposed to be feeding the sheep with that which will nourish them. And he says that the priest and the prophet have erred through strong drink. They are swallowed up of wine. They are out of the way through through strong drink. They err in vision and they stumble in judgment. Their ability to discern truth has been compromised by the deception that they have allowed themselves to be pulled into. And he says, now look at this, verse 8. All the tables are full of vomit and filthiness, so that there is no place clean. The word filthiness comes from a Hebrew word that means dung. In other words, cow pies. And the tables are full of vomit. Remember the poison in the pot? Ooh, my stomach. Now here's the imagery. And this is gross. Here's the picture, the tables. What are the tables that he's talking about? Well, first off, who are the people who are doing this? The prophet and the priest. Just thinking pulpit people, all right? The prophet and the priest. Now, what are they doing? They are preparing the table of the Lord. Thou preparest a table before me. They're preparing the table of the Lord. God's expectation is that what is on that table is going to be a feast of milk and truth, if you will. But instead, what these guys are doing is filling the tables with vomit and dung. Where's the vomit coming from? They are ingesting the deception of wrong doctrine and regurgitating it back up on the table. They're throwing up on the table. That is what he's talking about here. They're regurgitating back up on the table, and then they're putting dung on the table. But they're putting the whipped cream on it and the cherry. You see what I'm getting at? They're serving this up, and they're telling the people, this is the feast of the Lord. This is the table of Almighty God. This is the truth we've been waiting for. And they're inviting the people to come up and sit at these tables and just dig in. And we know they're eating it. You say, well, how do you know they're eating it? Because they wouldn't be called into judgment if they weren't feeding it to people and people eating it and being poisoned by it and being led astray. And he says, the tables are full of vomit and filthiness, dung. There's no place clean. And God comes with this question. He says, how in the world, whom shall he teach knowledge? How in the world am I going to get knowledge? What knowledge? Knowledge of truth. What's supposed to be on this table? How am I going to get these people to the place to where they look beyond the tables of dung and vomit to receive truth? How can I get them past this deception? How can I get them to the place to where they're no longer going to be feasting on these things that are going to destroy their lives? He says, whom shall he teach knowledge? Whom shall he make to understand doctrine? All scripture is given by inspiration of God, profitable for doctrine. He says, them that are weaned from the milk, drawn from the breast, precept must be upon precept. Precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little. Remember what I shared earlier, how that the reason so much of this stuff is being taught wrong is because they're taking the verses out of context and they're preaching things that are in error. And God says, you want to know how this is going to happen? Here's how. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people. Will he speak to this people? Will he speak to this people? Will God speak to this people? That tells me that when I begin praying in tongues, just like Paul referenced, when I begin praying in tongues, God is in communication with me. I am in communication with God. I'm bypassing the tables of the priests and the prophets that are full of dung and full of vomit. I'm bypassing all of that, and I'm going directly to the divine table of Almighty God, and I'm letting Him begin to impart to me a discernment between good and evil. And he says, to whom he said, this is the rest wherewith you may cause the weary to rest. And this is the refreshing. But then he says, yet they would not hear. In other words, here's God. And he's saying, you know what? You people have been eating at a lousy table for a long time. Every time you turn that television on, figuratively speaking now, and you're watching all your favorites, do you not understand that what's coming through the speakers in your television is vomit and dung? Do you not understand? You're filling your living room with this. See, this is God's perspective, not ours. And God is saying, every time you put those little headphones on and you turn those preachers on and they're telling you, nah, you don't have to repent. Oh, we can tell you how to, you know, move in the supernatural and you'll be seeing all these things. We'll show up at your church service. Hopefully you won't notice it when we wink at you. Do you realize that when you do that, you're filling your brain with vomit and dung every time? And God is saying, here's how to help yourself out. I will give you a language that comes straight from heaven. My language. There's no deception in it. There's no dung. There's no vomit. If you will spend time praying in this stammering lips language, I will be able to work in you to confirm to you the line upon line understanding of my word and establish in you a doctrine of purity and truth that will guard your heart and mind all the way to the end, so that you endure all these false prophets that are rising up in the church right now. And he says, but I'll clue you in. There's a bunch of you are not going to hear this. In other words, you're going to reject this.
Well, I don't need this praying in tongue stuff. I can get all I need from reading the Bible.
Well, if that were true, you know, it almost sounds like you're being blasphemous now. But if that were true, everybody would be preaching the same thing. But all too often, we read the Bible through the filter of the glasses of our denomination, of our traditions. And God says, I'm telling you right here, this is how you do it. You meditate in my word, line upon line, precept upon precept. You don't take anything out of context, but you pray in tongues and enable the Holy Spirit to give you the explanation of it so you understand what's going on here. I didn't write this for it to be a mystery. I wrote it for your edification. I wrote it for you to know. And he says, they would not hear. And God says, but you know what? Even though they reject this truth, even though they won't do this, even though they don't believe it, even though they won't accept it, I will not change my standards. Verse 13, but the word of the Lord was unto them, precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little, that they may go and fall backward and be broken and snared and taken. In other words, the day of judgment is going to come. And they are going to be judged according to the line upon line, precept upon precept standard of my word that is confirmed through the praying of tongues. But they're going to reject this and continue to go their own way. And at the end, they're going to be snared. In other words, they are going to be entrapped in a place where they cannot escape. Now, some people would say, if turn over to Romans chapter 16. This will be the last verse we look at. Some people would say, yeah, well, this sounds like a cult here. You're telling me who I can and cannot listen to. No, really, we're not. But what we are doing, is using our God-ordained authority to tell you who you should and should not be listening to.
You ain't got that authority.
Tell that to the Apostle Paul and all those things he wrote. Oh, foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you? Tell that to Peter. We have a place of authority not to control, but to teach. We're not telling you, you can't listen. That is control. What we're saying is, you should not listen to these people. Now, look, Paul addressed that in Romans 16, verse 17. Paul said, I beseech you, beg you, plead with you, urge you, please listen to me. I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. Paul is just simply saying the same thing I just said a moment ago. And he's even a little bit stronger. He's saying, you know what? You've been taught. We have shared the word of God with you. We've explained these things to you. And now you've got people coming into your midst, false prophets rising up today. They're telling you things that contradict what God has established in his word, that contradict these things that we've been teaching you. Now, I, Paul, am telling you, mark those people and avoid them. Not because they smoke cigarettes, not because they have a glass of wine with their dinner, not because they go to the movies now and then, not because they like to eat steak, not because of the... No, he says because of the doctrine. Because of the doctrine that they're teaching. He wouldn't have to give them that warning if those people were not making headway in their midst. And I'm telling you right now, if you do not get into the Word and stay into the Word, this message is for me too. It's not, look, I'd be stupider than the stupidest if I were to stand up and say, I'll never be deceived. Because Jesus said, boy, you better sit down. Because I warned many, a multitude will be deceived. You want to be in that bunch? No, I don't want to be in that bunch. You better get into my word then. Just because you're a pastor doesn't exempt you from this responsibility. You better get into my word. And you better spend time praying in the Spirit to build up that anointing of truth that John talked about over there, 1 John. And guard yourself against this deception. It's coming. And guys, I'm telling you right now, it's here. And I cannot reach into me and pull out of me what God has shown me about the magnitude of this and how it's going on. I can't. All I can do is say, okay, you've heard this. Now, you need to get with God. And you need to spend time with God. Because if you don't, you and I, we are facing the possibility of being deceived the closer we get to the end. But I don't know about you, I want to endure to the end. Listen, I'm at the point now. You know, people talk about, well, we want to get out of here, pre-tribulation rapture. You know where, what I am now? I'm okay staying here for the final 7 years. You know, I shared with my church the other day, I said, let me get this straight. How many of you have lost family members? No, everybody raises their hand, got a lost family member. I said, so let me understand. You want all of the Christians to be out of the world and there's nobody here to tell your lost family members about Jesus Christ and you might as well just sign them over to Satan and hell. It's like, well, no, I don't want that. Well, then somebody needs to stay around because the lost aren't going to be preaching salvation. Somebody needs to stay. You know what? I have to be willing to stay through the final 7 years to be a voice crying in the wilderness to help people know Jesus is your answer in these final hours. And that's the place we need to be, guys. That is the Christ reach the world attitude that we need to have. To be willing to hang around to the very end. So if there's one person left who doesn't know Jesus, we can lead them out of the lake of fire, man, straight into the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Now listen, if you're here today, you've heard me talk a lot about praying in tongues. And I shared earlier, I was raised to believe praying in tongues is absolutely wrong. And yet we're seeing in the Word of God, this is something we need to help protect us against the end time deception. And I can remember one of the things the Lord shared with me a long time ago about praying in tongues is that there's so much confusion in the body of Christ. You know, Brother Allen was talking about how, you know, people prayed for him. He stuck his tongue out because he was expecting God to grab his tongue and make it go, blah, 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 blah. God doesn't do that. God doesn't do that. And if you make a decision to pray in tongues, well, if you make a decision to speak in your own language, you know, it doesn't matter if it's, you know, Chinese, Russian, French, English, Hispanic. I mean, it doesn't matter what it is. If you make a decision to speak in your language, the Holy Spirit is not going to interrupt you. Because you're the one in control of what comes across your vocal cords, not God. But the Holy Spirit will give you the ability to speak in a miraculous, supernatural language when you want to. And that way, when you make that decision, you know, I'm going to pray in tongues. You take all the languages known to man that you can speak, and you just set them over here and leave them alone. And then you take in a breath, just like you're going to tell me your name. And then you release that breath across your vocal cords. You use your human energy in your physical body to cause your vocal cords to move. You know what I'm talking about here. But when you do that, you're allowing the Holy Spirit to release through you His language. So let's just say the right side of my brain is English. And I say, okay, right side, stand down. Left side has tongues. It's not literally like that, okay? Don't, you know, I got to shut my right side. No. Illustration here. Okay, left side, take over. Because, if you know, if you just keep going, Jesus, I praise you, Jesus, I praise you, Holy Spirit's going to say, hey, listen, glorify Him all you want, because I'm not going to interrupt this. And that language, when it starts coming out, you may think, ah, it sounds like baby talk to me. It sounds like gibberish to me. That's your soul. That's your soul telling you, this doesn't make any sense. But your spirit is saying, dude, I've been waiting for this for a long time. Thank you. And God's up in heaven saying, you go, boy. You go, boy. Religion has confused the whole thing of praying in tongues. Not God, not the Holy Ghost. It's not complicated. People have complicated it. If you're here today, everybody just go ahead and stand. If you're here today and you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, you're born again, man. You've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You know that you're born again. But you've not had that, what we would call the experience of being filled with the Holy Spirit, praying in tongues. I'd be more than happy to pray with you. And when I do pray with you, remember, you have to make the decision to not speak in a language you know. And you have to make a decision to begin speaking forth, call it sounds, if you will. Syllables. I mean, however you personally like to describe it. You make that decision. It may not sound like me or Brother Gary or Pastor Dave, but it's whatever the Holy Ghost is wanting to release through you. And if you're here right now and you'd like me to pray with you about being filled with the Holy Spirit, receiving what we call, you know, praying in tongues, your prayer language, if you'll come up, I'll pray for you. Is there anyone at all? There may not be anybody, but after a message like this, I better give you the opportunity. Anyone at all? Hallelujah. Anybody else? Hi there.
Hi.
Are you nervous?
Yes.
I was too. I remember the day I went, the night, it was a night service, you know, preachers preaching, and I thought, well, I'm going to do this. So I went up. Man, I had no idea what to expect, no clue. Some people talk about, ooh, it felt like warm oil all over me. Other people said, oh, it's like a vibration on the inside. Other people talk about all kinds of feelings. You know what I figured out? Forget the feelings. You don't look for a feeling. You just receive what God wants to give you. It's like, that makes sense. Now, you heard what I was saying about, you know, you have to use your energy to produce those sounds. Very simple. Hey, praise God. Hi there. Are you nervous too?
Yes.
I am too. Hallelujah. I understand it. You know, you come up here and you think, if I go up here, everybody's going to be looking at me. You're right. Everybody is looking. But you heard what I said about how that you have to do this. But you lay aside any language you know. And I'm telling you now, it is a step of faith. I've been there. It's like, you know, you just start making baby talk sounds or whatever. And I'd use those human terms to try to help people understand. But what it is, you're asking God to give this to you. He is. Your mind will not understand it. But God will give this to you. And all those sounds that are coming out, that is going to be a language coming straight from heaven. So what I'm going to do, and this is the way the Lord instructed me to do this, I'm just going to lead you in a prayer. It's kind of like a prayer to be born again, but it's a prayer to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And then at the end of the prayer, as you're repeating after me, and I'll say in Jesus' name, amen, I'm just going to start praying in tongues. And then you just start praying in tongues too. Don't even worry about it if it sounds like me. You just begin making those sounds, releasing it. The Holy Ghost is the one who's going to work this miracle, okay? So just repeat this prayer after me. Dear Lord Jesus, You are my Savior. And I love you so much. And I ask you right now, please fill me with the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, I receive you into my life. And I ask you to give to me the gift of praying in tongues. I receive this miracle from you now, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, let me just kind of interrupt for a moment. Here's what's going to happen. The more that you pray in tongues, the Holy Spirit is going to begin to expand that vocabulary. And it's like being in school, and they teach you more words. Same thing. The more you pray in tongues, the more the Holy Spirit is going to release more and more of this language out of you. And it's a growing learning process. I want to encourage you, when you leave here today, even before the afternoon service, spend a little time praying in tongues, because the Holy Spirit, He'll work in you to confirm, this is God. You're not just making this up. This is God. Holy Spirit's going to confirm, I just worked a miracle in your life. And you're going to be praying in a language that man does not know. I mean, it is a miracle, a literal miracle. You've just experienced a miracle of God. Praise the Lord. And the more that you pray in tongues, is the more everything I was sharing will be happening in your life. Now, if you don't have a copy of Pastor Dave's book, Walk of the Spirit, Walk of Power, we will get a copy of that book for you. And it will be free, no charge to you. Pastor Dave has a lot of teachings about praying in tongues that explains even more about what it does for you. I so encourage you to do that, to get his teachings. And I mean, I have some, Pastor Bronk has some, but you know, Pastor Dave is our shepherd here in this conference. And I encourage you to get his teachings. But you be encouraged to know, listen, what happened with both of you here today, this was a miracle of God. He gave you a miracle. And you have the ability to pray in God's language. Hallelujah. Praise God. I want to get a hug here. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, let me just pass this on. There might have been some here thinking, I'm too nervous to go up here in front of all them people. You know what? What you heard me just explain, go home and do this. Amen. Repeat that prayer at home. Same thing will happen. Remember earlier, you don't have to have people lay hands on you. And I've had testimonies of people, they were nervous, didn't want to come up, but they went home, they did this, boom, got filled. I have a CD of an altar service just like this that we send out to people who are, I want to be filled with the Holy Ghost. So we send it to them. And I tell them, I said, now listen, when you listen, you hear the CD, it's of an altar service in our church. You follow along just like you're the person at the altar. And I've had reports come back where people have said, I did, and it worked. In fact, we even had one fella, he's a prisoner. And he said, I want to be filled with the Holy Ghost. So we sent him that CD. And he sat right there in his cell in that prison. He played that CD and followed it along just like he was in the church service. Got filled with the Holy Ghost, started speaking in tongues. Then, in a Bible study in his cell, he led all the other prisoners to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah! Praise God! That's exciting.